The following is a talk given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on March 14, 1987 at Sridhar Angan in Sri Navadvipa, India.
Kolareche Sridhar, one of the famous devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who got his special mercy. Kolareche Sridhar, by profession, he was, as his name implies, Kola means banana, Becha means peddler. Banana peddler, vegetable peddler. He would especially have here big banana orchards. So big, so many banana orchards. And he would grow bananas and sell the bananas, the leaves, and various other banana products. But the banana tree is said to actually come from the heavenly planet. It was taken down from Indraloka. And the banana is something which the whole tree is useful. The leaves we use every day for prasadam, which you already know. The fruit everyone knows, the peels of the fruit, even the cows eat. The trunk of the plant, the flower of the banana, is called the mocha in Bengali, and that mocha is also made into a vegetable. It's considered somewhat of a simple delicacy that takes a lot of time to prepare. But this mocha is also one of the products from the banana. The center of the banana tree is known in Bengal as tor. And that also, you can prepare a type of vegetable. Apart from the core of the banana tree, the other outer shell can be used as a plate, bowls, or also fed to elephants, cows, and other similar animals. The root can be taken and replanted again, and it grows another banana tree. So the whole banana tree is useful. There's nothing that's without a use. It's totally, what do you call it, recyclable. So, Kolarecha, he was in this trade. He was growing bananas and selling the flowers, the centers, the fruits, the leaves, everything. But 500 years ago in Navadvip, everybody had bananas in their house. I mean, you'll notice now if you go in the village, everyone grows bananas. There's nothing, it's like, they're pretty easy to grow. And so everyone is growing bananas. So it's not like, it's like going to Newcastle and selling coal or something like that. It's not something which you can make a very big margin, because everybody grows in their backyard. Only if someone, for some reason, doesn't have enough, then he'll buy a little extra or some festival day. So Kolareche Sridhar, because of his very profession, he was very poor. But nonetheless, he was so strict a grihastha devotee that whatever he would earn from selling his bananas, from that, 50% he would spend on the Ganges. He would got an order from his guru to worship the Ganges. So he every day went with whatever profit he made. 50% he used to buy incense or any other thing for worshiping the Ganges. He'd go and worship and do a Ganges puja. You see, in those days they didn't yet publish the books, so they couldn't have purchased books or other things. But he was doing Ganges puja. That was his particular service. And Lord Chaitanya, as a small child, he would come up to Kolareche Sridhar in the marketplace and he'd say, please give me some of your bananas. How much are these? He'd pick up a bunch, look at it. Kolareche Sridhar would tell exactly the correct price, whatever the market rate was. So many quanchals. In those days they used quanchals for money, when it was a very small amount of small cost for the item. Actual coin, you could buy like a whole bag of rice for a coin. So parts of a bag of rice would just be conch shells or kuri. Is that correct, Subhagmar? So, in this way, Lord Chaitanya would say, oh, so much! You're trying to charge me so much! Why are you trying to cheat a poor brahmana like me? Kolaracha Siddha said, no, I'm just asking you the correct price. You can go in the market and see. This is the proper price. I'm not asking more. Then Lord Chaitanya would say, no, no, you should take less money. You're charging too much. And this way they'd have an argument every day. When Lord Chaitanya was just about 10 years old, 11 years old, he'd go shopping for his mother. Young, beautiful Brahmin boy. Nimai Pandit Biswambar. Then Lord Chaitanya said, he'd just take the bananas and start walking away. Then Kolaracha Siddha, hey, hey, what are you doing? Why are you taking the bananas? Where are you going? Gorasundar would turn back. He said, what do you want? What do you think? You think I... He throw back the bananas. Although Kolaracha Siddha grabbed the bananas back from him. And Lord Chaitanya said, what do you think? I want the bananas free. I don't want to pay. You're accusing me of taking the bananas without paying? He grabbed them back. So, half the price on the ground, you know, just in front of the Kolaracha Siddha, and walk off with the bananas. Things like this would go on every day. Big arguments, big dramas over a couple of banana flowers, a bunch of bananas. But although Lord Chaitanya in this way, whether he knows that this, he knew this is my pure devotee. So he's coming. And he's just teasing him in this way, giving him transcendental pastime. And something happened every time when Kolaracha Siddha would see Lord Chaitanya, his heart would become just filled with some form of affection he never experienced before. Actually, he was feeling Krishna prema for Lord. He was feeling bhava and feeling various emotions for Lord Chaitanya. But of course, at that time, he didn't know that who was his personality. He just knew that he something was very unusual about Nimai Pandit, something he couldn't explain, how he felt so attached to him every time he saw him. And even though they did all these things, he never got angry. He always felt, I mean, externally there was that, but in his heart afterwards he felt very satisfied and very fortunate that this Brahmin boy always kept coming to him. So this is going on for years. Now Kolaracha, he would every night, he would chant Hare Krishna. During our evening program I explained how Navadvip was filled with Gyanis, Karmis, and various other kind of demigod worshippers who are very inimical towards the pure devotees. So when Kolaracha Sridhar would come home, then in the night, either alone or with his family or with a few friends, he would chant Hare Krishna. But then all these other people, they got impatient. Why is he chanting so late in the night? Then someone would criticize, oh, he's just so hungry, he probably can't sleep, so he just shouts like that through the night, disturbing everybody else. In this way, they always were just criticizing. One time some neighbors came to him and said, listen, why are you spending half your money on the Ganges worship? So this is the order of my guru, this is my, if I do this, then by giving 50% of my income to Krishna, then I'm freed from the karma. And I'm able to advance quickly in pure devotional service. No, no, listen. You want to offer more to Krishna? Of course, we always like to offer more to Krishna. So then you just stop giving 50% for just 1 year. Build up your capital. Get a good asset. Get a good capital together. Invest it in a big way. You'll make a million. You'll be a rich man. Then give it to Krishna. Just stop for now. For a year. Kolaracha Siddha, he said, I'm giving my honest labor, I'm working, whatever income I'm getting, by Krishna's mercy, that I'm accepting. If he wants me to be rich, I'll be rich. If he wants me to remain poor, I'll remain poor. But if I stop giving my 50%, then again I may get into the fruitive mentality and become a Kriyamedi. So, I'm afraid of getting into this fruitive mentality. What if I stop giving now? I may not begin to give it again in after a year. What is the guarantee? So better not to stop. But look it! You got a hole in your roof of your house! He said, well, it allows one to see better. The light has to come in somewhere. And it's very cool in the hot days. Some ventilation. I'm looking. You got a ripped cloth. You got holes in your cloth. It's torn. You could have all new cloth. Well, at least I have something over my body. I'm not naked by Krishna's mercy. Oh, the people just became so impatient with him. But he never stopped chanting. He kept on chanting every day, kept on doing his Ganges worship. This was the great quality of Kolaracha Shridhar. This temple here is built at the place where his house was, and this is his garden right here. So when we were at, I believe it was Subarna Bihar, some other place, Jagadish Maharaj has started to give an example using Kolaracha Shridhar. So I said, well, we're going there in a day or so. So he said, all right then. I'll hold off till then. So, now what? Here we are, Kolaracha Shridhar's place. At this opportunity, I'd like to request Jagadish Maharaj to give us a little nectar.
Om Agyantam Randasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Milatam Chena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. I'm sure what I'm going to say is not going to be nectar, but I'll try to say something. This example of Kolaracha Shridhar's simplicity in devotional service is very instructive for us. I didn't know this part of the story that Saivataka Maharaj was just telling how people were encouraging him to spend his money on other things. But he insisted on living simply and giving 50%. So, of course, this application of this principle in each of our lives will vary from person to person. But it's a very good principle to follow. Understanding that whatever I get is coming from Krishna. It belongs to Krishna. He gave it to me to see how I was going to use it. Actually, we can take it that way because, two ways we could take it. We could take it, he gave it to me for my enjoyment. Or we could take it, he gave it to me to see if I was going to use it properly. Because Krishna is testing us constantly, encouraging us, putting us into situations where we can further progress in his devotional service. On the other hand, we can remain entangled within the material existence. Both doors are open to us at every moment. That's our marginal position, tathasta shakti. We can move towards Krishna, or we can remain entangled in calculating for my own sense gratification. But the simplicity of the devotee, which is one of the characteristics or qualifications of the devotee, simplicity means that for oneself, one just takes what's needed to keep body and soul together. And everything else is done for Krishna. The best examples are the six Gosamis of Vrindavan, who practically gave up eating and sleeping in order to increase their devotional service to the maximum. Our consciousness is mixed now between devotion to Krishna and selfish interest, maintaining my body, maintaining my family, maintaining my situation, comfortable situation within this world. Now, Krishna doesn't demand that we give up all comforts and live a life of utter poverty and austerity. But austerity is necessary. Tapo dibhyam putrika jena sattvam shudyajasmad brahma saukyam tvanantam. This austerity, divine austerity of devotional service is essential if we want to rise above the entanglement of material existence. It is a price that we have to pay. So for Sridhar, the eternally liberated soul, he set the example for us how even though there was pressure from outside in all directions for him to give up his simplicity, give up the simple charity that he wanted to perform, he still stuck to it very strictly. Because his goal was something else. As in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, what is nighttime for the materialistic person is daytime for the self-realized person. And vice versa. What is nighttime for the self-realized is daytime for common people. In other words, we have to figure out in which direction we want to head. What are we really interested in? Are we interested in the material world, the external world of the senses, gratifying them, satisfying them, and living a life of ease or comfort? Or do we want to use whatever we can in Krishna's service, maintaining the body only for that purpose also? We should be confident that Krishna doesn't want us to suffer unduly. Tapasya sometimes means suffering. But the tapasya of devotional service doesn't mean suffering. Krishna doesn't like to see his devotees suffering. He provides everything to live comfortably, just as here in Mayapur. We can live very comfortably because we are, many of us, at least our Westerners, we're accustomed to certain amenities, certain conveniences. So Prabhupada has arranged for us to have those things here, and in Vrindavan also, so that we can come to these places and take advantage of the transcendental atmosphere for our spiritual purification and advancement. So comfort, we don't have to worry about our comfort. Sridhar was not worried about his comfort. I'm sure he was perfectly comfortable, much more comfortable than his neighbors who were encouraging him to take steps for material progress. He didn't care for that. Similarly, when a devotee is headed towards the internal, being awake to the internal world of the self and the relationship with Krishna, then it's easy to be comfortable in the material world. In fact, our lives are much more comfortable than most of the people in the world. If you take into consideration there are 4 billion or between 4 and 5 billion people in the world, a huge number of those people do not live anywhere near as comfortably as we do, as devotees. Even if we live here in India, we live very comfortably. So to increase that comfort is just moving in the wrong direction. That's the direction of the materialists. They think that to gratify the senses is the purpose of life, and they concentrate so much energy and attention on that. But for us, the energy and attention should be directed towards understanding how to please Krishna and dedicating our energies for that purpose, limiting the amount of energy we expend for our own comfort to the bare minimum. And of course, we have, Kolavetya Sridhar had his order to give 50% for the worship of Mother Ganges. We have our order to spread the Sankirtan movement. And so many supplementary or subordinate orders to go along with that. If we dedicate ourselves to that, we'll be perfectly satisfied, even living very simply. Sometimes a devotee thinks that after being a devotee for some time and undergoing some austerity, that he deserves some kind of comfortable situation as a reward. We have to be very careful about that. In other words, sometimes when we first come to devotional service, we think that we want to perform some austerity. There's some motivation there for austerity. Either we're suffering in the material world and we want to get out of it, or for some other reason, we join Krishna consciousness and in the beginning take the austerity. But then after some time we start thinking, now I've been doing austerity for so long, now let me become comfortable. And we see this tendency amongst some of the older devotees that they think, now I've done my austerities, I should become comfortable. Now this is allowed to a certain extent. The brahmachari life is a life of austerity. And then if the brahmachari gets married, Grihastha Ashram allows for a little comfort when they have his own apartment or an association with the opposite sex, and there's a little comfort there. But one has to be very careful about taking that as, now I've done my austerity, now it's time to enjoy.
We've also seen that not only house elders, but also sometimes sannyasis have become a little bit affected by a similar type of consciousness. Now I perform my austerities, now it's time for me to enjoy. This we have to be very careful about. The austerities should continue. For the six Goswamis, the austerities continued to get more. For Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he continued to perform very severe austerities, much more than what we can do. But the example is there. Not to give up the austerity at a certain point. Or I've seen in devotees also in America that they spend some time in the movement performing austerities. And then when they get tired of austerity, that's time to move to Southern California or Hawaii. And it's time then to enjoy the fruit of the austerities that we perform. But this is not a very good idea, because the real fruits of the austerity of Krishna consciousness is described by Rishabhe, Brahma Saukhyam Tvanantam, eternal and unlimited happiness, which comes as a result of our establishing our eternal relationship with Krishna again. So if somehow or other we slip into a fruit of consciousness, then it will mean a temporary interruption of our devotional service, our devotional progress. So simplicity in the life of a devotee is extremely important. We should become attached. In fact, this is the purpose of brahmachari life, is to help the devotee become attached to austerity, simplicity, celibacy. And those things, those practices, which are going to help one progress throughout the rest of his life. If one enters Grihastha Ashram without having become attached to these things, simplicity, austerity, celibacy, and so on, and without having fully understood the Krishna consciousness philosophy, then there's danger. Sometimes the Grihastha Ashram is described as a blind well. If one isn't fully prepared before entering into it, then one can end up sinking in the blind well, and there's no one to come to help. So let us remember the example of Golavicha Srinar. Now that we are here, we have the fortune of being at his place. Remember his example, his attachment to simplicity, and see that as a very important example to follow in our own lives, so that we can continuously make progress up until the end of our life and then go back to Godhead.
So later, when Lord Chaitanya started his Sankirtan movement, that time, of course, he didn't go as often to go to the Golavicha Sridhar for buying the bananas. But Golavicha Sridhar never forgot Lord Chaitanya. He was always very eager, and he would sometimes send him bananas or otherwise provide. One day, that day when Advaita Gosai, he saw that Lord Chaitanya had, in meditation, gone to his mood as Krishna. And he put Tulsi on his lotus feet and he started to offer him arati. The Mahaprakash at that time, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as devotee, he started to reveal to different devotees who they were and to give different devotees his blessings. Just like he revealed to Murari Gupta that he was Hanuman. And Murari Gupta all of a sudden looked at himself and saw he was Hanuman. He looked to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Murari Gupta was a physician devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And so Lord Chaitanya said, "You know who you are?" And he was also a very determined Ram Bhakta. He was a devotee who, when Lord Chaitanya said, "Simply chant Krishna's name," he, next morning, he was prepared to commit suicide. Lord Chaitanya said, "Why?" "Because the whole night I just tried to follow your order and think of Krishna, but with every thought, Ram's face comes out. And only Ram's name comes in my mouth.
so many times. Couldn't bear to give up the lotus feet of his Lord Ram. At the same time, he couldn't disobey the order of Lord Chaitanya. So he thought, better that I go to the Ganges and take one long dip. The permanent kind. So Lord Chaitanya embraced him and said that you are the real devotee of Ram. So in that Mahaprakash, he told, you know who you are. Now you can see. And then by his blessing, he looked, and there he was, Hanuman. He looked up at Lord Chaitanya, and there he saw Lord Chaitanya had become Ram. Then he fainted. When he came conscious, he was back Murari Gupta, and there was Lord Chaitanya. So like this, different devotees were getting mercy in different ways. So all of a sudden, Lord Chaitanya told his associates, you bring Kola Vichar Sridhar. So they came over here to this place, and they told Kola Vichar Sridhar, you must come. And why? So Lord Chaitanya is calling for you. Lord Chaitanya calling for me? He fainted. Such a humble devotee. And the Lord Chaitanya was calling for him. It was too much. He just fainted. So what are the devotees going to do? So they just picked him up and carried him over. They got over to Shiva's Thakur's house.